thrilled to be here. Just came straight from the firehouse and couldn't wait to get here tonight as we continue our Easter celebration, as we remember what happened 2,000 years ago. And I am so glad that you are here with us. We hope that you made yourself available to the hospitality table so you have something to eat on the way in and take it with you and have it at your seat. We pray that tonight God would continue to show us more and more about who He is, what it is with this relationship that He's offering to us, that Christ paved the way for by doing what He did 2,000 years ago. We pray that we would be able to see a little bit greater and a little more clearly who we are and what Christ wants in our lives and how is it that He expects this thing called life to work. We pray that that would happen at some point tonight. God may speak to you through a variety of reasons, or a variety of avenues. He may speak to you through a worship song that comes up as we begin our set, and when we close the service, there may be some one phrase in there that just means something to you. Well, we believe that's the Holy Spirit talking to your heart and making that real to you. And we pray that you would engage that and take that in and just see what God have you do with that. Maybe there's something that will touch your heart that you'll see in a drama. Maybe something as we study the Word of God and look at what the resurrection was like. But we pray that at some point tonight, God would connect with you and that you'd be ready for it. So I'm going to have Mr. Robert come and tell us everything that's going on at Westbridge, and then we're going to begin.
Matthew 28 says, "Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb of Jesus. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women, 'Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead.'" We have a God who is alive, so we have a lot to celebrate tonight. Would you stand as we begin our worship time together? You can turn and say hi to someone that you haven't met before, and then we're jumping right into our worship time.
I guess it's going to be a good night. They tell me, I was at the firehouse all day, and they told me a lot of things were just blowing up today. Our trailer tire blew up. They had all kinds of trouble with other things to try to get our rehearsal up and running well. And I realized when I took the first up strum on my guitar and my pick fell right inside the guitar, that is going to be a good one. But Cody had put an extra pick on the stand, so that's good. I guess he thinks I'm going to throw those to the audience. You know, I don't do that anymore. But last week, we looked at what happened at the crucifixion of Jesus. We also looked at why it happened. We looked at God's roaring response to Jesus' life being sacrificed on the cross for our sins. So tonight, we want to continue studying the events of that fateful weekend and also look at our response to Jesus' offer of salvation and his offer of a new life. So let's pick it up in Mark chapter 15 at verse 42, where we are back where he was crucified, back at Golgotha, and Jesus has just died upon the cross. So it says, "This," meaning the crucifixion, "this all happened on Friday, the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath. Now, as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, he took a risk. He went to Pilate, and he asked for Jesus' body. Joseph was an honored member of the high council, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Pilate, he couldn't believe that Jesus was already dead, so he called for the Roman officer and asked if he had died yet. And the officer confirmed that Jesus was dead. So Pilate told Joseph he could have the body." And that's the end of our passage right there. Okay, as we said last week, when God tore the curtain in the temple, he was giving a visual aid of his invitation to individuals like you and me to have a relationship with him. We studied this, that when Jesus died, God roared at the end and tore the temple curtain in two, showing that we can walk right up to God now. We don't have to have an intermediary. And we looked at that. And last week, we came down to the cross that we had up front, and we symbolically, what we did is we tore our curtain. We tore the walls down that have been kind of separating us from God. The curtains that we kind of hung between us and God, putting a distance between us. And that was a very special moment. It was very cool. And I went up and I took a picture of the cross because it was just so sharp. And everybody, I think, was connecting with what was happening. But gang, that moment can't stay there. You can't just camp out there. That moment has to lead us onward. Now, the Bible passage that we just read introduces us to a man named Joseph of Arimathea, whose relationship with Jesus was leading him forward. He was moving on in this relationship, deeper into it. Joseph of Arimathea was a member of the Jewish ruling council called the Sanhedrin. He would certainly have been there the nights of Jesus' so-called trials with the Sanhedrin. He would have been there, Joseph of Arimathea, on that Thursday night, and he would probably have been a dissenter to the vote to kill Jesus. But as things went on, as he saw what took place, and as his faith in Jesus continued to grow, he knew he had to step in, step up. Luke records that Joseph of Arimathea, it says that he feared the council. And after all, I don't blame him. They had just pulled off a murder. They had just pulled it off. They were able to get Jesus murdered. Maybe he would be next, Joseph of Arimathea. But nonetheless, fearful or not, Joseph went to Pilate, the ruler, the Roman ruler, and he asked if he could bury Jesus' body in Joseph of Arimathea's own tomb. He would use his own tomb, give that to Jesus. And that's what he did. Now, the Sanhedrin would certainly find out what Joseph did, and they would certainly ostracize him for this. The followers of Jesus would find out as well, because it would become known where the body of Jesus is. Oh, it's in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. And once the Bible is written, the whole world would know what Joseph of Arimathea did. As we said before, starting a relationship with Jesus is just that. It's a start. But you can't stay at the start. That moment that we accept Jesus, we must lead us onward into a deeper relationship with him. A relationship that will involve victories in our life, a relationship that will involve sacrifices, a relationship that will involve bold stands like Joseph of Arimathea. Gang, from the cross to the grave, we start living a new life, a life with God's Spirit inside of us now, guiding us and navigating us forward. And what a life this new life is. We discover truth about who God is and how he works. We embark on a new way of living. And finally, we see how life is supposed to work. We discover who we are, that we are unique individuals, each of us, who God created for the purpose of doing amazing things. It's not a mysterious, ethereal relationship with God. Instead, it's a very frank, it's a very candid relationship where we buckle on the belt of truth and we deal with God honestly and openly. Gang, once we are open with Jesus, powerful and vital things start to happen. Christ will show us areas that we need to change, areas that will fix our brokenness, areas that when we change, we will see the dysfunction starting to leave our lives. You see, with the belt of truth cinched up tight, we're capable of acknowledging these areas and we get to work rooting out these life cancers. Let's read on in our passage. It says that Joseph of Arimathea bought a long sheet of linen cloth. Then he took Jesus' body down from the cross, and he wrapped it in the cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone in front of the entrance. Now Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where Jesus' body was laid. Again, Jesus has been buried. The sin of all mankind was placed on Jesus, and he paid the required penalty for our sin. The problem, the issue that had broken the relationship between God and man was that mankind wanted to be its own Lord. Mankind wanted to choose its own route, even if that route conflicted with God's desires for us. See, God had said, don't eat of the tree that allows you to decide good and evil. He says, I will set the right and wrong standards for you to live by. Mankind said no. And gang, the definition of sin is anything other than what God wants. Anything other than what God wants is sin. And God didn't want us to be our own God, deciding good and evil for ourselves. So Jesus paid the penalty, and he took sin to its grave. We need never be slaves to vices. We need never be slaves to immoralities, addictions, wickedness, corruptions, anything. It can now all be thrown in the trash. Christ can forgive it and empower us to fight it off in our life. The Sanhedrin Council would certainly ostracize Joseph of Arimathea when they found out what he did. But he had the strength to stand for Jesus. He had the gumption to throw away his position on an evil council so that he could embrace his position as a true follower of Christ. Last week, we took down what was holding us back from Christ, and we crucified it on a cross. As our relationship with Jesus moves forward, he will uncover and bring to light the things that we collected in our lives that are other than what he wants. Remember that definition? Things that are tripping us up and adding to the dysfunction in our lives. These are the things that must be removed. They must be destroyed. They must be put in the grave. You see, Jesus didn't come to earth and die on a cross to simply make our old life better. Jesus didn't come to earth and die on a cross to bless our previous ways of thinking and acting. Jesus didn't come and die on a cross to overlook our wrongs and to put a better dress on our shortcomings. He came and he died on a cross and went to a grave and rose on the third day to give us a brand new life. A life where we are having our wrongs washed away by his forgiveness, his blood. A life of freedom. Freedom from wrong compulsion. A life where we live differently, where we act differently, and we think differently. We think and act and live the way he's guiding us to. The old is passed away, and the new has come. But securing the new is not an effortless or painless enterprise. One must give up to go up. Jesus gave up his life so mankind could go up to a relationship with God that they couldn't have had before. You and I will have trash that God never intended us to have, and it cannot be a part of our new life. That trash is the old life, and the old life should be left in the grave. But the old grave clothes that Joseph of Arimathea wrapped Jesus in. Let's read on. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, the mother of James, and Salome, went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us when from the entrance of the tomb?" But as they arrived, they looked up and they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. And when they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Well, he isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died." The women fled the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. Then they briefly reported all this to Peter and his companions. Gang, Jesus had told them this was going to happen. His hearers remembered him saying it was going to happen, but still, no one really thought about it happening. Jesus would lay down his life and simply get back up. He would refuse to stay dead. He is God, and you can't kill God. Sure, Jesus decided to let his mortal heart stop beating. Indeed, he gave up his last breath, but his spirit could start it up again whenever he wished. And his wish was to start it up again after 3 days. Jesus had foretold this. He had preached, there is life after death. But for some reason, people don't spend much time thinking about it, or looking forward to it, or counting on the future, our eternal destination. No, we tend to be a now-thinking people. Make my home here on earth, Lord, better. Fix my broken relationships with my loved ones here. Take away my hurts, remove my fears, and take away my problems, all here. Now, don't get me wrong. These are all good things that we should be looking to God for, but it's only half of what Christ offered. There is another life ahead that awaits everyone. There is life after death. And Jesus' victory over death gives you and me a whole new way of dealing with it. One of my favorite movies is the movie Big Fish. It's the story about the life of a man named Edward Blum. And Edward tells stories about the unbelievable things that he has done in his life. And some people, because these stories are so grand, think that Edward is telling Big Fish stories because of the death-defying things he says he did. But you see, we find out why he could do such amazing things very early in the story. Edward tells that when he was a boy, he knew a certain witch that lived nearby his house. And this witch had an eye patch that she wore over a hollow eye socket. And he tells that if you were able And if you were brave enough to go and actually look into the witch's eye socket, you would be able to see how you are going to die. Well, young Edward is intrigued by this, and he walks right up to the scary, haunted house where the witch lives, and he asks to have her move the eye patch and let him look in to see how he's going to die. And that is exactly what happens. She allows him. She lifts the eye patch. He looks in. And after about 10 seconds or so, he says, "Oh, that's how I'm going to die." Well, with that piece of information tucked into the back of his brain, he boldly does the most risky and dangerous things you can imagine, because he knows none of those daring exploits will kill him. He knows how he will die, and all the perilous antics that he attempts or even accomplishes, they can't kill him, because he knows how he's going to die. Well, that girl on the train, she knows that she has a savior who conquered death. She knows when life is over that she will live forever in heaven as a child of God and a fellow heir, we're told, right alongside Jesus Christ. And she knows how she will die. Like Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "This day you will be with me in paradise." And because she knows how she will die, she knows how to live. When we place our lives in the hands of a loving, risen Savior, we live with a confidence that God has counted our days. When we place our life in the hands of a loving, risen Savior, we live with a faith that God is leading our feet towards our proper tomorrows. And when we place our lives in the hands of a loving, risen Savior, we live with a hope that God is guiding everything and that nothing is out of his control. You see, that, gang, is what Jesus accomplished. He paved a way for us to walk right up to God and find forgiveness, to find healing, and to find purpose. The sacrifice for our sins was paid for by one man, so that all who wish can find life to the fullest through him. Friends, this Easter, we can let God turn our hurt into healing. This Easter, we can let him take our lifelessness and resurrect a new life. And we can let him turn our sorrow into dancing. I've been spending more and more time in Virginia recently with my daughter down there. And I'm finding out as I interact with a lot of the folks down there that we have a certain way about us up here in the north that I didn't know everybody saw. And it's true, we're more guarded. I think we're more quick to not want to get duped. We're very leery because we don't want to be scammed. And I get that. I said to them, "Yeah, I guess we are a little bit more like that. We also get a lot more done. We're a lot faster moving." But I get it. And you know what? For a long time, I wasn't willing to buy into Jesus. I knew about him. I believed that he came. I believed that he died on a cross. But I just wasn't willing to hand anything over to him. I was afraid I would be scammed. I was afraid that if I gave Jesus my life, that somehow I would be taken, that I would wind up in some horrible place doing something terrible, or that would cost everything that I held dear. And I realized along the way, as I continued to have God pull at my heart, there's no scam involved. It's just a free offer. It's an offer for him to take our lives that might be misfiring like crazy, or maybe your life's pretty good. Maybe you feel like, you know what, I've done pretty well choosing my own path. God says, either way, you're missing something. There's a spiritual part of us that needs to be born, reborn. And he offers that. He offers that to each one of us. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, I pray if there are any here tonight who need to connect with you, who've been saying no, that they would say yes. That they would realize that there is an open offer of a relationship with God. All we need to do is have our sins taken away through what Jesus did on the cross, by accepting that gift. And that once we do that, Lord, it'll move us into an area where we start having you help us take the trash out of our lives. Whether it's a bad attitude, whether it's a broken relationship, whether it's a vice or anything, you help us on a lifelong journey of getting rid of the trash, putting it in the grave, and raising us up to a new life, not only here, but a life with you forever in heaven. Let us not forget, and let us not think about that, but help us to engage you. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. Would you stand as we worship together? Lord, we have not forgotten what you did 2,000 years ago. What you did shook our planet. What you did established our time. And I pray that you would help each of us, Lord, to realize why you came. You came simply to open your arms wide open, to say, I'm standing here waiting for you. And I pray that each of us would see that. I pray that you would help us to embrace you and ask you for the forgiveness of sins. And I pray that you would help us to be honest about the things in our lives that are tripping us up, the things in our lives that you didn't want there, and that you could help us get rid of. And I pray, Lord, that you would help each of us to live with a kingdom mindset, that we are living merely in a proving time, a time where we just show ourselves to you, and then you will decide for eternity what our place should be. Let us live building treasures in heaven, loving one another, telling others of the amazing offer that you give. And help us, Lord, to live it first and foremost as we tell others about it. And now, Lord, let this Easter season be one where we continue to grow closer to you and closer to one another. We leave ourselves in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Easter. We'll see you next week, 7 o'clock.